Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, as always. You're invited to join the discussion, 603-283-6160, if you would like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. We're doing the studio tonight. It's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And I got a little nervous there because the music bed, there's like a 1 second pause there. And I remember why. I remember those were added specifically, but I forgot why. But after last night when the music bed didn't happen, I was like, okay, God, okay. Show's starting, no music. But everything turned out to be just fine, as you're hearing now, because there's music playing and all that stuff. So it is your live Wednesday edition here on the show. And, of course, that means there's new stuff to talk about. Among them, Christians in the United States, right, they're peculiar to me because they are convinced that they're being persecuted. While they're this huge majority, yeah, like something like 50% of the population.
Why is this surprising, though? Right?
Did I say it was surprising?
Well, they want it to be.
Is that what you said?
They want it to be true because they want it to be the end times.
To me, I'm just thinking back, like, this is, like, historically, this is what they do. They're like, oh, I'm the victim. Meanwhile, they're attacking everyone else. Like, you have to convert and, you know, be exactly like me. So to me, you know, this is nothing new.
I wonder if they were the victim during the Crusades.
It is historical, though. Like, Bart Ehrman pointed out in one of his books, and I don't remember which one it was. Maybe the Gospel of Judas? Or maybe it was a podcast. I don't remember now. But anyway, he pointed out that Christians have always sort of claimed to be persecuted. It was in Heaven and Hell, or the Apocalypse. It was in his Apocalypse book, and I've already forgotten the name of it. But he pointed out that Christians have always felt like they were being persecuted. And he suspects the reason is because their religion was started with someone being, you know, tortured and killed, which is persecution. Hmm. And because of that, any slight that they're predisposed to assume that they're being persecuted. The reason he got into that was because of John and Patmos, the person who wrote the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. I was always under the impression that he did that during a period of heavy persecution for Christians, right? That the Roman emperor at the time was heavily persecuting Christians. Evidently, no. There's no history of any sort of... The emperor at the time, whose name I've forgotten, doesn't even seem to have been aware that Christians existed. But that didn't stop him from claiming widespread persecution and from writing this apocalyptic book based on the idea of Christian persecution and revenge.
Well, you know how, like, schizophrenic people will just take an idea and run with it? They will, like, hear about a thing, and then they'll turn it into, like, they'll just hear that some celebrity was in town, and then they'll be like, yeah, he's been talking to me, and blah, 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 and they're making all this stuff up. Well, maybe he just heard... You know, he read some of the old books of the Bible or whatever that were around at the time, whatever they would have been called, where Jesus said, like, oh, you'll be persecuted in my name. And then he just ran with it, and he's schizophrenic.
That's a fair point. And meanwhile, like, the Christians in the United States, they're doing everything they can to make life difficult for trans people. It started with trans people, but I can't help but notice I've got a story about how LGBTQ people, gay people in particular, are just fleeing Florida en masse, right?
Yeah.
Which I can't say that I blame them, but there's a lot of people on the right, these conservative types, rejoicing about this, which I don't know if they realize
it. It's disgusting.
But it really lays bare what their position actually is. They said it was about trans kids, but here they are rejoicing about gay people living in Florida. It's clearly not about trans kids.
Well, and that's a great point, because they're claiming, oh, well, you know, all these trans people, they're groomers, they're pedophiles. I'm sorry, you can't say that every single gay person is a pedophile. That literally doesn't even make sense. And I actually know people personally who, they're like an elderly lesbian couple that live in Florida from Massachusetts, go down there, you know, a lot of old people retire in Florida, and they're literally moving back. They're thinking about moving to New Hampshire now because they've had their car vandalized. Like, they are
being tormented.
They're in their 70s. They're both sick. You know, like, they're sick elderly people that just wanted to retire in Florida, and now they have to move back to the north because they're terrified for their lives.
Yeah.
You know?
That should never happen.
It's really sad, and it's like... no, these 70-year-old women, they're not grooming kids, they're not pedophiles. They just, they're minding their own business.
That accusation of groomer, though, it's become so, I've stopped responding to, in general, I've stopped responding to people who want to argue with me on Twitter. Anyway, I may, like, pick one and carry on in a bit of a conversation with them. I don't know what strikes me about some people is, hey, this person's worth responding to versus the dozens of dozens who I'm like, I'm not bothered. They have three responses, and that's it. The first one is to call you a groomer.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is to call you a freak. And the third one is to go basic biology, even though the basic biology has nothing to do with this. And if they ask an actual biologist, they'll say, oh, yeah, by the way, and your tongue isn't actually divided into five parts as well. But, you know, they're stuck. They think that what they learned at six years old is like the end all be all. So I feel bad for the day when they learn that the moon isn't made of cheese. That's going to be the catastrophe.
Well, and like all of that aside, it's just really shocking when people that claim to be libertarians are, you know, so adamantly against any sort of LGBTQ people.
This isn't
because it's all about like, okay, live and let live. You know, you do your thing, I do my thing. What happened to that? Like, well, why do all of these so-called libertarians all of a sudden hate the entire gay community?
I can answer that. It's because of COVID-19. A bunch of people were like, hey, I don't believe in this. I don't want to lock down. I don't want to wear a mask, blah, blah, blah. They were conservatives. And then the only people who they found publicly speaking about it online were libertarians. So they went, oh, I must be a libertarian. I mean, when I found out about libertarianism in 2016, the anti-gay thing was not a thing.
No, like, it wasn't. I was not at all
excited to find something that was, like, I agreed with it in an economics type of way. Like, I didn't have to go run to Bernie Sanders, who was so wrong on economics, but also didn't want to kill my gay friends. You know, that I was so happy that I found this, like, group of sane people. And now a bunch of Republicans think they're libertarians. And no, it's not, oh, the no real Scotsman fallacy. No, there are people who literally are not libertarians, don't know what words mean, and a couple years ago decided to start calling themselves libertarians. That's just a fact.
It is very much that. I like your explanation. There's also the libertarians, they seem to be attracted. They like every libertarian that I've ever met wants to be a celebritarian. Every single one I've ever met. And they like getting likes and follows and stuff on Twitter. So after COVID-19, they've learned that, hey, you know, this LGBT thing, that gets conservatives to click that like and follow button. So the more I virtue signal my support for them without actually saying it, which is what Luke Wodowski was doing of Change, We Are Change, he's not coming out and saying that he's hostile to LGBTQ people. Of course not, because he's a libertarian and he's not. But he's coming as close as he can to that to signal to conservatives, hey, guys, like and follow me for updates or whatever.
So
and it's gross.
What I've noticed is people are either like just blatantly saying homophobic and transphobic things on the internet, which to me is very alarming. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like some of these people, you know, when you know them personally, it's a little scary because it's like, is this a new thing that you've just discovered? Have you been homophobic this whole time? You know, or is this new? Either way, that's very disheartening and gross. But what I've also noticed is very few people, either they are supporting it or they're just not saying anything. Like there are very few people I've seen that are actually speaking out against it. And I think, like, between the three of us, I don't really know to maybe a handful of other people in, like, the libertarian-type community. I really don't see anybody else sticking up for trans or LGBTQ people at all.
No, it's very peculiar. They're going the opposite route. Now, I realize, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease or whatever. So the loudest ones out there are going to be the ones that we hear. And the conservatives are riled up about this.
And they have bigger followings. Like, you're always going to have a bigger following if you just want to go chill to conservatives than if you are going to be a principled libertarian. Anytime I post serious things on Twitter, I lose followers. And, like, if I'm posting things like, you know, it's so funny that the right-wingers are all going to be triggered the whole month of June. Literally, I'll lose, like, five followers.
I mean, I'm talking about, like, people I know, though. Yeah. Like, my Facebook friends. Like, I've seen a lot of just bigotry, but I'm not seeing anyone saying, like, oh, you know,
I've seen similar
leave
things.
My friends alone.
Like, Dennis Pratt recently tweeted something, like, a few weeks ago, he tweeted something about, my whole life, it was considered the worst thing ever for a man to lose his his member.
Yeah.
And he was like, and now suddenly trans people want this. We live in topsy-turvy world. I'm like, Dennis, you know a trans person. Did you bother to ask a trans person to help explain this to you? No, you just broadcast your blatant confusion online, not in a transphobic way, but again, being as close as you can get to being hostile to trans people.
I think that the one reason that a lot of libertarians we know in real life aren't saying anything, the ones that aren't homophobic, is because those type of people just, like, aren't on Twitter. They're the types
That's
of people
true.
To be, like, literally, leave me alone. I don't even want to be in the picture. I want to be, like, the people that come to, like, Nightcap. None of them are homophobic, and they're really not on Twitter, definitely not on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, it's just these bad people that want attention.
Maybe that's your you are right on that assessment.
You do make a good point. I mean, especially, like, here in Keene, the Keene Libertarians, obviously not homophobic, not transphobic.
Yeah, of course.
That's what it's always split in between the Keene and the rest of the Libertarians in New Hampshire. And a big thing about it is so few Libertarians in Keene are on social media.
No,
so
because
always,
I think a lot of, like, our people in Keene are very, like, big into security,
right.
And they don't want to be on Facebook. Like, they value privacy.
Right. And
they're a little bit more principled than, you know.
A lot of the times I feel like the rest of the Free Staters in, like, Manchester and Nashua or whatever are way more represented in the public sphere is because of that.
Well, there's also a lot more of them. I mean, realistically, there's only, like, what, maybe a dozen Libertarians here? No, there's more than that. I don't know how many Libertarians there are
but
here
there's
in
a
Keene,
lot more in Manchester. Right. And Manchester is a bigger city altogether, so there's more apartments, more houses, it's a little bit more jobs.
And
so
all
it does
over
make sense.
New Hampshire, a lot of, like, the best Libertarians are just low-profile people.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring this up is because a story caught my attention a day or two ago, and what I wanted to get into was the subject of Christian persecution, but when you start talking about Christian persecution in today's context, you just can't help. Well, I can't help but talk about LGBT people and what's happening in the United States, where, like, if you want to know what a persecuted people look like, they're the ones who are having to pack up and leave their home because they're being targeted with vandalism and by legislation
by the
that's
government.
Going.
Yeah.
That's what persecution literally looks like. But anyway, it also looks like this. A toddler in North Korea has been sentenced to life in prison.
What?
After his parents were caught with a Bible.
That is possible.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so
That's
persecution. Yeah,
that's
like
unreal levels of persecution.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that. So human rights groups say that the historic case is just one example of the persecution faced by tens of thousands of Christians in the country, but I would point out that it's not just Christians.
Anybody that has a religion.
Right.
That isn't the state.
And if you even say anything negative about the state. So this toddler, and I'm curious, how do we know about this? Because it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that North Korea would be willing to admit that they did, because, like, it's horrifying. This toddler is going to spend their entire life in prison. And I every time I say that, my brain just cannot process.
It's going to be like a person who grew up in a cave, raised by wolves or something.
Yeah, he's going to be one messed up individual. A toddler was sentenced to life imprisonment in North Korea after the child's family was found in possession of a Bible, according to a new report by the U.S. State Department. So that's who it's from. I don't know how the U.S. State Department got this information, and it doesn't say. Although the incident took place in 2009, is there an update? Because this person would no longer be a toddler then.
Yeah, that's what I was
then.
Just thinking.
They would be, what, if they were two at the time, they would be 16 now? Are they still in prison? I mean, I guess I can't blame them for not having this information, given that North Korea is famous for not letting people find out what's going on outside of it.
I also, just as a devil's advocate, got to point out that it could be a lie from our government. If it's coming
Absolutely.
From our government, coming from a place where we have no way to go and verify ourselves, it could be a lie.
That's a really good point. They don't seem to have much interest in actually invading North Korea, though, it seems to me like they'd be less likely to lie about this. Because they're not using it as a justification for an invasion.
But at least
not yet.
They use North Korea as a justification to, like, go hard against China. Because it's, like, all this stuff, like, China protects. That's what I've heard before. Like, China protects North Korea. Stuff like that.
So this was highlighted in the department's new report on international religious freedoms this month, citing data from Korea Future, a non-governmental organization documenting human rights abuses in North Korea. So evidently, Korea Future is the institution that found out about this. And then they reported in the U.S. State Department. I was like, hey, we're going to include that in our report. In our report. One case involved the 2000... Okay, they're just repeating themselves. The entire family, including a two-year-old child, were given life sentences in political prison camps. There are estimated to be between 200,000 and 400,000 clandestine Christians in North Korea, mainly in the West, where many are believed to have settled after a, quote, explosion of interest in the religion in 1907. And they go into some... They go into some boring details here, but I'm not really interested in it. The North Korean regime has tried to stamp out Christianity for decades, and it's said to fear the influence of the church after studying its role in the collapse of the Iron Curtain in Europe in the 1970s. I haven't heard anything about the church playing a role in the collapse of the Iron Curtain in Europe in the 1980s.
I feel like lots of Christians just try to say, like, I see things like this all the time. It's just like, without Jesus, there would be no Western civilization. And there's, like, no proof. They just say it.
Yeah.
But they also say a lot of stuff like that.
No,
you know what I mean?
Saying.
It's, like, just completely, like, no, you're, like, just baseless.
Defectors have revealed horrific details of Christians being brutally tortured, killed, and incarcerated in gulags. But there are still a handful of Christian churches across the country, including four in Pyongyang. But most observers say these are just show churches, and I don't know what that means. I suspect, though, you wouldn't want to go to one of these churches because it's illegal, and I suspect you would be arrested.
Or maybe it's a show church, as in, like, if you go, they're just going to tell you what they want you to know about the religion and nothing more.
Ah, that's true.
I don't really know what else it would mean. It's kind of weird.
It's estimated that between 50 and 70,000 North Korean citizens are held in prison for their Christian beliefs. The group that's ODUSA, Open Doors USA, has stated that life for Christians is a constant cauldron of pressure. Capture or death is only... Okay, they wrote this badly. Capture or death is only a mistake away. But that's not, again, not just for Christians in North Korea. That's everyone.
Yeah, and also, like, this is kind of Jewish people's reality for, like, all of history, right? Like, they're, like, always typically the people that are picked on. I mean...
Yeah, and if you've ever read, like, Dear Leader, which is a book about what life in North Korea written by a North Korean dissident, it's pretty clear that, like, they're in Big Brother mode, where, like, one mistake against the party, and they find out about it, and they disappear you.
It's like
they
1984, send you to, except worse.
Yeah, they send you to a re-education camp or whatever it is they need to do. So it's not just Christians. It's anyone who does anything that the North Korean government doesn't want you to do. I believe you have to have a picture of Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il in your house, if I remember correctly.
I've heard that before as well.
And it has to be, like, at a place of honor, because those are your gods.
Yeah,
in
like
North
above
Korea.
The fireplace.
Yeah. It documented a, quote, horrifying incident recently. This is, again, Open Doors USA, where several dozen believers were discovered and executed, with more than 100 of their family members sent to labor camps. And that's one of the most messed up ways that North Korea achieves what it achieves. It doesn't just target you. It will target everyone in your family. So, I mean, it's one thing, like, hey, you're a Christian. Well, we're gonna kill you for that. But they're also going to kill your wife. They're going to kill your kids. They're going to put your grandparents in prison camps, your brother and sisters in prison camps, if they don't just outright kill them. So it's like you're not just being punished for breaking the law. Everyone you love and care about is going to be punished with you or worse than you.
Because they know that a lot of people are willing to sacrifice themselves, you know, for the greater good. But then if you have, like, okay, I'm not only sacrificing myself, like my entire family, possibly anyone that knows me, you're going to think twice about that.
The U.S. military uses the same tactic of literal, like, mind control or control of other people. It's like if you're, you know, you have a group, I don't know, a squadron, and you do something wrong, you aren't the only one that gets punished. Like, everyone does.
Yeah.
Then everyone punishes you for punishing them.
Yeah.
And it's like it reinforces heavily, like, you can't do that next time.
It reminds me, it's hard not to think about the Crypto 6 incident when I think about this and governments, you know, targeting everyone around a person in order to punish that one particular individual. Like, and it's clear when you look at the sentencing memorandum that the prosecutors filed in my case, Ian Freeman is mentioned I want to say it was 34 times.
Yeah, like maybe even more than you.
It wasn't more than me. I counted.
Yeah, okay.
I was mentioned 36 times. He was mentioned 34 times.
Okay, so pretty much neck and neck.
Yes. So it's inexplicably clear when you read this saying that that in my sentencing memorandum, they were still punished heavily on one, both blaming me for things that they allege Ian did, and number two, blaming Ian for things that they allege that I did. And when you, this is obviously why they went after, you know, I don't want to say her name, the grandmother who was involved with this, and why they went after Renee and Andy and nobody. I more understand why they went after me. But they went after all of the others in just this clear attempt to take down Ian and to punish everyone who ever associated with Ian.
Well, I mean, it's easier to get...
People quit the show as a result of this because yeah. They're like, oh, okay, they're targeting everyone who's ever been friends with Ian. I'm out.
Yeah. And the other thing is it would be, they thought that it would be easy to get someone to, like, flip and go against Ian if they were just, like, you know.
But, see, that was where they made the mistake, and that's where they didn't do their research. There was nothing to turn against.
Yeah.
I don't know what they thought they had uncovered, if it was some sort of crime ring where we were, I don't know what they were thinking.
I think they probably thought that they would get somebody that was so scared
yeah.
that they would be willing to, like, lie or anything to, you know.
Well, I mean, that does happen, yeah.
I mean, and the worst they treat you. I didn't see that particular day of testimony,
I
wasn't there for that.
She said she didn't know, she had never heard about the Shire Free Church, and Sissy was like, oh, well, why did the Shire Free Church officiate your wedding? And she was silent for, like, 30 seconds,
yeah.
and she's like, I thought he was a Quaker, which everyone knows he's a Quaker, but it's an interfaith church, and she knew about the Shire Free Church, and she lied.
No, and it did seem like with that whole situation that the feds or whoever manipulated her to essentially turn against Ian.
Well, didn't they threaten her?
Yeah, they threatened
Probably.
Her with a charge, and she said that under oath, so.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what they do, right? That they threatened me with additional charges back when I turned down their initial plea deal, and I was like, no, you bring your other charges, I'm not taking your deal under threat of violence and coercion. So I don't blame her at all. Activism in kids don't miss.
Yeah, no, that's so true.
Yeah, once someone begins having children, their activism is done. And I don't want to say they're a liability at that point, but if there's the potential there for them to become a liability, then they're a liability.
I blame the big obese lady who lied about my husband, for the record.
Sure. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying I'm not surprised that this happened after she had kids, because at that point, you know, it's not just about herself going to prison or whatever. She's going to lose her kids in that process.
Yeah.
And that is that's the catalyst that pushes them over the edge and makes them say lies on the stand.
She's also, like, straight up crazy. She was posting things like, the feds made me on a miscarriage. They followed me on Facebook to try to scare me into having a miscarriage. This is what they do.
And then she worked with those people, though? And she cooperated with them?
Yeah, after that. Melanie, the one who used to be on the show, if for the listeners who don't know what we're
talking
about.
Yeah, the one who wasn't allowed to be on at the same time as Richie Rich anymore. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The White House is expressing confidence that the debt ceiling bill will make it through Congress before the U.S. defaults.
We are proud of this bipartisan, common sense agreement that we believe that should get passed out of the House and the Senate and to the President's desk.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the administration has been whipping up support among Democrats for tonight's House vote. The White House is calling a Chinese fighter jet maneuver over the South China Sea unsafe and unprofessional. The Pentagon released a video showing a Chinese jet fly directly past the nose of an American plane. Actor Danny Masterson has been found guilty on two rape charges by a Los Angeles jury while they remain deadlocked on the third charge. After 7 days of deliberation, the jury determined that Masterson had raped two victims at his Hollywood Hills home 2 decades ago. Sentencing for the 47-year-old is yet to be scheduled. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live, and you can join us 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. Again, the number 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and it's Bonnie.
And I want to say thank you to Dash for sponsoring this hour of tonight's show. Dash is, of course, short for digital cash. It's a cryptocurrency that we've been promoting for years here on the show. In fact, one of the first Porcupine Freedom Festivals that I ever attended. It wasn't the first, but it was one of the first that I was like there as a co-host of Call to Freedom, and I was up in the media room, and you know, things were happening, and I was a known quantity at that point. Was the year that Dash had sponsored the pavilion there, and it was the same year that Dash Back was rolled out. A lot of positive things were happening with the Dash cryptocurrency, and of course we were promoting it heavily on Free Talk Live because it was useful day-to-day as a currency. Dash also has this technology called chain locks that protects their network from 51% attacks, which is critically important in this world. It's difficult to secure your money against, you know, people stealing it. And 51% attacks means a lot of people have put a lot of money into stealing money. And they may not care about your 0.1 dash or whatever, but if they're rewriting the entire network, then it doesn't take them any effort to go ahead and take your money too. However, you don't have to worry about that with Dash because they do have this chain locks technology. There's also no need to wait for a confirmation before a Dash transaction is considered complete. which makes it great for merchants. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. Dash.org if you want to learn more about it. And I want to say thank you to the Dash DAO, that's the Decentralized Autonomous Organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Again, that's Dash.org. And thank you so much to the people over there at the Dash DAO. So we were talking about the story of these Christians being persecuted, but I want to move on because that's pretty much the extent of the story. It starts talking about how horrible things are in North Korea for Christians, but that's such a short-sighted approach.
Yeah, it's like, no, everyone.
It would be like if I wrote an article about how horrible things are for Satanists in North Korea. It's like, okay, yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't care particularly how horrible things are for Satanists in North Korea because I know they're bad for everyone. But it would be narcissistic and selfish of me to focus on what was happening to LGBTQ people in North Korea and ignoring what happens to Christians. North Korea sucks for everyone.
That's the thing about people that nowadays, they don't look at root causes of anything. They don't look at the principles. They just look at these symptoms. They don't look at the causes. They just look at the effects. They don't look at the cause, authoritarianism. They look at the effects and go, we need to, like, implement Christian things into law, which is more authoritarianism. It's like throwing water on wet clothes and saying that's how you're going to get it dry.
It is distressing. And I thought that libertarians were smarter than this, but this a little alliance they're building up with the conservatives makes me think that they're probably not, because it's just a matter of time before one of these libertarians says something like, oh, yeah, hold the police accountable. And these conservatives are like, whoa. No, we don't say that. Back the blue.
Yeah.
Unfollow or whatever. It's like they're either going to have to sacrifice their principles and pretend to like the police, or they're inevitably going to come to one of these huge libertarian talking points where we absolutely diverge from conservatives, or you're going to attack the military. That's also a sacred cow of the conservatives that you're not allowed to attack. Or nationalism. Or immigration. But I suspect, look, if you're one of these, quote, libertarians who has an issue with LGBTQ people of whatever variety, I'm going to go ahead and bet that chances are good that you also don't want immigrants.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I'm willing to bet that if you're bigoted against LGBT people, you're probably bigoted against non-white people.
Yeah.
Just going to speculate.
I'm also willing to bet that you're not a libertarian and you're just a conservative who was like, oh, you know what? That's like a nice thing that can make me seem a little bit different from all of my other conservative friends. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
You know, because it was conservatives love to be like, oh, freedom. Like, we love freedom so much. So they think, you know, like, and I thought this too before I really understood what libertarianism was. I just thought a libertarian was a conservative that had more guns. And, like, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you talk about freedom a little bit more, and you're just, like, a little bit more into guns.
It's so
I didn't
weird.
Really know any of the other things. Like, I didn't know they were against the police. I didn't know they were, you know, I mean, like, the step before being a full-blown anarchist. Like, I didn't really understand any of that until I met some,
you know. It's so weird. It was, like, so hidden from me. My friend just started, like, helping me. I've said this on the air, but my friend was, like, backing me up when I was trying to explain to my sister why Bernie is wrong to want a minimum wage. And I was like, where are you getting all this information? You're like so smart. And he's like, you should look at fee.org. And I was like, what is all of this? It was like hidden from me. It was like, I only knew about being a Republican or a Democrat.
I mean,
basically.
It's a really good point. And I remember being interested in politics more or less as long as I can remember. But I mean, interested in a way that most 16 and 17 year olds aren't, beyond knowing who their president is or whatever. But this was something that I actually paid attention to. I actually liked reading my civics high school my textbook in high school. I actually enjoyed reading it. And of course, it gave me slanted things. And I remember even then taking issue with some of the things they were saying about the government. But all of that aside, no one ever at any point in this education exposed me to libertarianism. And it was only the documentary Zeitgeist that made me even aware that Ron Paul exists. And don't get me wrong, Zeitgeist, it bends the truth in a lot of ways and asserts that some things are facts that aren't actually facts. And it butchers Christianity and religious history in general.
Isn't Zeitgeist the one that shows how Christianity is like astrotheology?
Yes.
Oh,
sun worship.
Oh.
It's not bad. But you got to take that religious part in particular with like a grain of salt, because he stretches a lot of this. He's like, here's all of these examples of savior, of men who were the children of God and who died on a cross and were resurrected 3 days later. And he lists a bunch of examples, and like, that's not true of almost any of them. Some of them like died and then came back later, but it's not as specific as he points out, and it's not as directly comparable, as he says. It's still really good, though. But at one point in that documentary, he makes mention of, well, maybe you think that all we really need is to get, like, a bunch of good politicians in there. And, of course, they heavily attack the Federal Reserve Bank. The last hour of the documentary, or mockumentary, or faux documentary, whatever you want to call it, attacks the Federal Reserve System. And that was what made me aware of that. And I was like, oh, my God, if this is true, this is a giant problem. And then I was like, holy crap, every bit of this was true, and this is a real problem. Which, of course, led me directly to Ron Paul. And he does show an image of Ron Paul at one point in there, but I didn't immediately connect the dots. But eventually, Ron Paul wrote the book in the Fed, and I was like, oh, okay, here's someone. Yes, I'm on board with that. So Ron Paul introduced me to the ideas of libertarianism, and I began exploring it from there. But
unfortunately,
it was just a freak accident that someone at work one night, when I worked as a custodian at a hotel, was like, hey, you should watch this Zeitgeist documentary.
Yeah.
It'll mess with your head.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, like, ever since I was a kid, I've always been, like, anti-state, like, anti-establishment, you know. Rebel.
Which isn't good. I mean, which isn't bad.
Who told you about libertarianism? Like, did your parents talk about it?
Literally, Lily told me about libertarianism, like, a few months before I met all of you guys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, literally, I had no clue. Well, actually, that's a lie. I had a couple of people in my life who were conservatives that were kind of transitioning into libertarianism. Like, they were kind of learning about some of the injustices of the, the government. And at the time, and that's why I think I thought libertarians were just, like, conservatives that liked guns and, like, a little bit more freedom, because the people in my life that were calling themselves libertarians, like, that's what they were. And now, you know, they've progressed to being, you know, kind of, you know, right, comparable to our beliefs, but...
And I just realized what scares me so much about these libertarian conservative types that are all over the internet these days, and it's that... You know, they didn't like COVID-19 because, you know, if you force people to get vaccinations and all this other crap, and they had good reasons for that. But when they look at Ron DeSantis, they're praising him and they love him and they want him to become the next president and all this other garbage. But, like, he's already passing laws in Florida that are going to require all employees, basically a social score, what's the word I'm looking for?
ESG. Environmental social something score? I don't remember.
Something like that, but you have to get authorized, you have to get permission by the government in order to get a job there. It was initially created for immigrants, but now
it's for everybody?
And it was voluntary, but now he's making it where if you hire someone, they have to have been approved by this organization, this governmental organization. I can't remember now what the hell they were called.
Oh, he sounds like a real freedom fighter.
And safe service, something like that?
No, safe service, like for restaurants.
Yeah, you're right.
Immigration thing.
Ian's talked about it, and it made me think of serve safe.
And I'm just spacing on whatever it was called.
But
the libertarians out there are still going, yeah, go DeSantis. Like, you don't see how this so obviously is primed to be used against you?
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't like immigrants. All right, well, guess what? They also don't like people who are registered libertarians. Now you can't get a job. Oh, you said something racist on Twitter? Now you can't get a job.
Right. And the other thing is he's doing things right now that conservatives should be against right now, but they just aren't paying attention. They just are still sheeple. That's the thing. They still just are, like, repeating things they hear, not looking into things. He passed this thing where anything that's already illegal, like littering, is going to be 5 years in jail minimum now if you did it with anti-Semitic intent.
Oh, that's right.
So it's a thought crime bill. And it passed unanimously in the Florida House.
In Florida?
Every Democrat and every Republican voted for this. And then DeSantis went to Israel
and
signed it
there. Yeah, it's super messed up, man. Like, things that are already illegal, that's the critical point here. It's like, it's already illegal to throw garbage down. But if you throw your garbage down in your neighbor's yard, and your neighbor happens to be Jewish, well, now it's a hate crime.
That is so
and you've got
strange.
A minimum of 5 years in prison.
Wow.
And that's something that Ron DeSantis, this conservative hero,
don't get me wrong. Like, I don't really support people that are actually, like, anti-Semitic, but...
Sure.
But that, like, I mean, a 5-year minimum for literally a thought crime, because you can't prove what kind of intent somebody has,
Ron DeSantis becomes president and makes that, like, a federal bill. All of the LPNH people are screwed because they're going to pull up their tweets where they were joking about the Holocaust and they jokingly tweeted, like, a thing about something about not believing the 6 million number. They're going to pull that up, and any time they get in trouble for, you know, littering, it's going to be, well, it was anti-Semitic, and we can prove it. We have their tweets from LPNH. I mean, I just can't understand why right-wing conservatives don't see how things can be used against them. It's just
they probably don't even know about it.
That's the other thing.
You know, they're like, well, Fox, it wasn't on Fox News, so it must not be happening.
Excellent points. But let's go to the phones because we are a call-in show, and you can join us 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. We do have Ricky on the line from Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Sister Aria, Sister Bonnie, Sister Nikki. Good evening.
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I had something else in mind, but we're going to do that next week because I want to learn more about you as practicing a Satanist. Considering our further discussion about Gnosticism, but I need to learn about you first. But that's for next week. But, you know, you got me thinking. You were talking about libertarians. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I remember back, it was in 2017. I remember Brother Darrell said, and as he was proceeding to get more frustrated, he said this one. He said, the problem with libertarians is other libertarians. You know, and I think that's kind of what you guys were talking about a little bit ago when it comes to views within libertarians about what a libertarian is.
No, we were pretty clear. The problem with these people is that they're conservatives.
Yeah, I'm tired of this argument or this, like, point of view, Ricky, that, like, oh, the problem is the people, they want to point out principles. No, the problem isn't the people like us who want to point out what a libertarian is. The quote-unquote problem, if there is one, is the people who are not a thing and are calling themselves that thing to wash
That's
away the
exactly
meaning.
That's exactly what I was referring
no,
to.
It's not.
That's
no,
what
it's not.
I was referring to.
You're trying to say that, like, the problem with libertarians is they don't believe anyone else is a real libertarian.
Well, the problem is libertarians that don't really adhere to what a libertarian is. I'll give you an example.
Well, then they're not libertarians.
Right.
They're
now,
just not
example.
A libertarian.
Right. Here's an example. Like myself, I don't claim to be a libertarian, but what I actually am is a Jeffersonian with new elements by necessity added. And I do lean heavy towards what a libertarian would be. I'm not a classic liberal. They try to use that. That's something different. But I do lean heavy towards libertarians. And the funny thing is I tend to be more of a libertarian than a lot of these so-called conservative-leaning or whatever libertarians. I'll give you an example of that. When I was running for office in 2017, I had all kinds of different support. I had two different police departments. I had a supermarket chain. I had arms manufacturer. But here's an odd one.
I didn't know supermarket chains could vote.
No, they were supporters of mine.
Okay.
The chain. Anyway, but here's one that contacted me. Now, here's my answer as someone that's a Jeffersonian and believes in what they call, quote, constitutionality. Now, I got a phone call, and I got, because I also had the pagans too, but I got a backing by the local district of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, here's my answer to this. Do I believe that white supremacy is okay? No, I don't agree with it personally, but white supremacists, as long as they're not committing crimes, they have the right to be white supremacists. This is where Trump screwed up when he had the backing of David Duke. Now, he didn't explain why. I am now. Okay, but he did. He backtracked it and then said, you know what? I don't want his support.
He didn't even backtrack it. I mean, the video's there online. One of the people in the news media, he was at some sort of thing, giving a speech or whatever, and there was a bunch of media people there. One of them said, well, have you heard David Duke has endorsed you for president? He immediately, David Duke, I disavow him. And there was no hesitation. And then the media continued.
Yeah, but before that,
because the media went on for months afterwards saying, Donald Trump refuses to disavow David Duke. And like, no, he did that at the very beginning. As soon as he was presented with the option of disavowing David Duke, he immediately and readily did so. But the media kept saying for months afterward that he refused to do it. And he had already done it.
Well, he did, but before that, he did say he didn't know who the guy was, and I think everybody did. But to me,
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know this guy's name. And
I'm assuming he's like a leader in the Ku Klux Klan or some sort of white supremacy group.
He used to be a Grand Wizard. He was a Grand Wizard before he got into politics.
And now he's a prisoner.
But my answer is, I don't agree with it, but you know what? It's like they have the right to be what they are. I don't agree with it, but they have the right, as long as they're not committing crimes.
Yeah, and I mean, I completely agree with you on that, and that's why, for me, it was really shocking when a lot of these people who claim to be libertarians are like, oh, you know, I think we should start stoning gay people again, or whatever,
right.
Whatever their point is, you know, because it's, I know I don't agree with white supremacy, and I'm definitely not going to be friends with you, because I don't think that's cool at all, like, I don't agree with any of those morals. But, I do believe that those people have the right to be hateful as long as they're not harming anyone. Unfortunately, as unfortunate as it is.
It's funny. Brother Ian was saying about this the other night. He was saying about libertarianism taking off. And the reason why it really isn't so much is because of the so many not so kosher, you know, libertarians. Because I tend to be very constitutional in a Jeffersonian sense. And I tend to be more libertarian than some of these
folks. I don't think it's because of there's people out there who are a bunch of white supremacists and libertarians. I don't think that that's very common.
I have seen a lot of conservative type people who, especially now, like now way more than ever, but a lot of those people who are like spewing all this anti-trans garbage. Those people, I mean, like, if I was not familiar with libertarianism, I wouldn't ever call myself. I don't even want to now.
That's a good point, but I thought he was saying there's a lot of white supremacists who are also libertarians. I just don't really think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
There's a lot of loud people, like you're saying, who are saying things that are just not libertarian. They're just not libertarians, and they're claiming to represent libertarianism. And if you're not a libertarian, you come across that online, and that's what libertarianism is to you, you're going to be like, ew.
Yeah.
Rightly, because it's conservatism, and conservatism has gotten a gross name, so these conservatives are like, I kind of want to be an e-celeb, so I'm going to call myself a libertarian and still spew the things I believe, which is literally conservatism.
I mean, yeah, like, I know some people who call themselves libertarians that are, you know, like, supportive of the military and, like, the police, and it's like, I'm not going to stop being friends with you over that or, like, ridicule you every day, like, stop calling yourself a libertarian, you're making me look bad. It's, you know, to me, it's not, like, that big of a deal, but it is true. Like, I'm like, you're not really, like... You're maybe a little confused on the definition.
The reason libertarianism hasn't taken off, and you know, Ian was the one who convinced me on this, is because people don't want liberty. They want themselves to be free, but they, more than anything else, what they want is to be able to control their neighbors.
To be in charge.
Yeah. And they're not happy to let the trans people exist next door. They want to keep the trans people from existing. They want to be in power. Say, no, it's illegal for you to do this. Or it's illegal
and
for you to do
that.
That's constitutionally wrong. And that's the problem.
Well, the Constitution doesn't
only matter at all.
I mean, it's irrelevant to the discussion. Bonnie, you had something you want to say.
I was going to say that one thing that really shows that Ian is right about that is the fact that when you bring up secession, people are like, no, we can't have that. We can't have... Like, they just want to control everyone in a 300 million people group. Instead of just secede and let people be like Californians in California and like New Hampshire people in New Hampshire.
I think it goes beyond that because I think a lot of people are terrified of like self-ownership and self-responsibility. Like the thought of being responsible for themselves and having to like be self-sufficient is horrifying for them. Like they want that daddy government to take care of them.
Ricky, are you still with us? I just wanted Bonnie to be able to get in real quick.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was just wondering what Nikki said. You know, I'm all about secession. And like I said, I'm close to a libertarian. But the thing is, why would libertarians be afraid of secession? It's a beautiful thing.
Well, libertarians are many. Yeah, there's not that many libertarians that are afraid of secession. There are like these terrible Beltway Twitter types that are like, all this would mean is you'd have more tyranny in the state. And I just don't think that's
absolutely
necessarily true. What does
not.
The federal government do to protect you from the tyranny of your government? Nothing.
They don't do anything,
governor.
You know.
And those Beltway libertarians, the ones who are libertarians on Twitter who are, like, obsessed with the National Libertarian Party,
yes.
unfollow them. They're not worth paying any attention to anyway. I mean, they're not activists, and if they are, they're such accomplishing such minor things that they might as well not be considered activists.
Yep.
And I used to be one of these people. I ran a county affiliate for the Libertarian Party in Mississippi, and I was like, yes, this is the way. You know, we're going to recruit, and the state Libertarian Party gave me this long list of people, and I've started emailing and calling people. Not one of these names did I get to come to our county meetings. Not one. The only people who came were the three who formed it, and that was me and two other people. And it was within 6 months of doing this that we stopped having the meetings altogether because there was no momentum, and there was never going to be any momentum because anyone who wanted libertarianism, they just gave up from the beginning. And I did have this list of 30-something names, but again, none of them were ever going to even come to the meetings. And eventually I was like, no, screw it. I'm not wasting my life putting my energy into this Libertarian Party county affiliate and the state party of the Libertarian Party in Mississippi, and even the National Libertarian Party, when it's not going to be effective, and I'm fighting a losing battle trying to get people who are already libertarians to get involved in the political system, right? Like, those are the people that I would expect to be the easiest. But I can't even get the ones who are already libertarians to come to our meetings. I'm never going to get the average person to come.
When I lived in Utah, I went to one Utah Libertarians meetup. And I told my little sister, who I asked to come with me because I didn't want to go alone, and I was, like, explaining to her what libertarian... I was like, listen, I've been watching all this on YouTube and explaining it to her on the way, and she was really confused. But anyways, it was just so sad. It gave me this feeling that I couldn't even put a word to for, like, a whole month, and I, like, took a break from watching all the Tom Woods and stuff that I'd been watching, and I just had this horrible feeling, and it was hopeless. I was like, wow, this is all the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. I mean, of Utah.
Why, though?
It's so small. It was small.
Okay.
It was just like, it felt like a bunch of people like, what if we were able to do this? You know, but they just had no actual ability to get anything
done. Yeah, it was
like
a lot of like, what ifs and not like any really like action plans.
And yeah, and Utah is a huge place. It was just like, I feel like this is actually really hopeless. And then slowly the gears started turning. I was like, I just got to move to Texas because it's already free, which doesn't make any sense, but that's what I believed at the time.
Thank you so much for the call tonight, Ricky. For me, I remember when we drafted and we signed the documents to create the county affiliate, I genuinely had the sense that we were doing some revolutionary thing, and that, like, this is it. This is the beginning. And then it never went anywhere. No matter how much work I put into it, you got to come to New Hampshire if you want to make anything happen. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans and nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.